I like peanut butter with some jelly and banana sandwiches. It gives me a great amount of energy. I like that. I like that. Peanut butter. I'm not talking about, I just a little jam on it. And then I like a banana on that. That's right to me. I eat that. I'm straight. I can roll. But I like that. Peanut butter. I like strawberry jam. Grape is all right. I like strawberry. Some marmalade, some orange or something like that. And I like peanut butter, banana, and little jam. That's my sandwich. I can handle it all that all day long. I'd rather have that than a turkey sandwich. I'd rather have that than fried chicken. Seriously. Because if I eat that, that's straight. I can roll. It gives me a level of energy. I can, with that, peanut butter. I may be messing up because I eat peanut butter and jelly, bananas too often. But I like that. That's my thing. I like that. That's my thing. I like that. And so when a man truly has this heart, this darash, the sikh, yeah, that his conscience, his mind is upon Yah, and our thoughts are so easily deterred and altered, our conscience is so easily corrupted, our minds are given over on the things that are not Yah. He says to Solomon, darah. He said, I want you to darash, seek Yah. Seek him. He said, if you seek him, he will be found of you. If we seek Yah, he will be found of us. The revelation of Yahshua will be revealed. We seek Yah. We're not seeking Yah, brothers and sisters. We're seeking everything but him. When we truly darash, that our mind, our love is set upon Yah, our conscience is clear, our imagination is one of the kingdom thoughts and concept. Most of our energy is placed upon things that are irrelevant. They have no power. They can't even retain you. They can't keep you. Our thoughts give it on the things that do not even satisfy. He says, son, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this. If you do this, he will be found. He says, but I want to tell you something. But if you forsake, if you azab, if you abandon Yah, if you neglect this Torah, if you reject Yah, if you forsake him, I want you all to hear this. If you abandon Yah, you turn away, if you depart from the light of his truth. See, we can have all these false perceptions we have learned from this false paradigm and believe that because of your wicked daughters and sons, they're going to come back. I want to show you something. He said, but if you za'ab, you forsake Yah. Listen, I want you to hear this. If you za'ab, you forsake Yah, him, he will zanak. He will cast. And this, when I understood the meaning of this zanak, I said, yeah, it means he will forcefully, he will abandon you, he will forcefully, he will forcefully reject you with force. He will say, get out of my face, man, get away. You understand that? He will forcefully, reject you. He said, don't depart from Yah. Do not depart. Don't turn away from the Torah. Don't turn away from the Torah commands of Yah. He said he will reject you. He will zanak you for, off, forever. Perpetually, without ceasing. Yahweh's time, he will forsake you, reject you. Then those that would say that Solomon was delivered and revived, lies from him. He rejected Yah. He turned from Almighty Yahweh. He turned away from the truth of Yah. He said, and that's why we warned him. You must understand that our minds must be shaped by the true paradigm or this true prototype. And it's not from some philosophy of men. It's not by the excellence of their speech and their philosophizing thoughts. But it's based upon the Mishra, the government or the power of Yah to govern us that even in every circumstance we prevail. Our minds prevail against the dark thoughts. Do you ever find yourself where dark thoughts overtake you and actions that are dark consume you? Come on, Israel. That didn't happen to Yahshua. He cast out every imagination, every thought that exalted itself against the mind of Yah. That's what every thought is. He brought it into captivity. And that's what we must do. We must be brought into captivity. And that is under the Torah power of the truth of Yah. He said, I'm warning you, son. If you serve Yah, if you obey Him in the way that He commands you, then He will barak. He will be with you. But if you forsake Him, if you forsake Him, He will zanak you off forever. In the Arabic, the Hebraic word forever is at, perpetually, forever, forever, continuing into the future. You know, we want to make forever means what we want it to for our circumstances, but this is the command unto Yahweh. That's why we must take great delight. We must have hafetz. We must delight in serving Yah. Oh, everything we do, it ought to cause our life to be fat. Living in an environment like this, whatever you can do, whatever you can find your hands to do, you taught us a Zion, you men of the abide of Israel, you should put your hands to do it. You that love to sleep and slumber, you come to poverty, you have no strength, you have no spiritual strength, you have not the power of the Ruach, you have no physical power at all. In the days of this nation, the man that had to keep his family warm, he did not wait until winter to start cutting wood. He'd get an ox, he would go out there and fell the trees, you understand? He knew what it was going to take to keep them warm. And he did not waste wood either. So he could not be a man that loved to sleep and slumber. There are men that, as soon as they sit down, they go to sleep. They can't keep their eyes awake. Something is wrong. There's a spiritual power there. I was sitting up all the night. It was about 11, 11:30, maybe 12, 11. Because many times my wife asks me, what time you come to bed? In the summertime, it's hard for me to go to bed early. Winter, different ball game. I go to bed early in the winter. And as I was sitting there, I was studying a few scriptures, looking at things. I said, you know, if I never had to sleep, yeah, I really would not. I would not. Do a little here and rest a little bit, take a bath, and go back doing this. What could a man accomplish in something like that? So when a man a little falling in a hand, a little sleeping, then one comes to poverty. When one folds their hands and they sleep and they sit down, and the first thing you notice, they're sleeping. Their inner just lusts, there's no energy there. Something is wrong with us. Something is wrong. It's the word of Yah that revives us. It creates this euphoric in Israel. It creates this delighting, this rejoicing. I can't stand a lazy man. I don't like a lazy woman either. I can't handle that. I can't stand someone shiftless and lazy. Yah doesn't like it either. He commands us to work. Man doesn't work, he ought not eat. He commands us to work at our soul, salvation with fear and trembling. That's what he commands us to do. And it takes quite a bit of job to keep you in line. You're not maintenance free. It takes quite a bit of maintenance. You are high maintenance. We are high maintenance people. That's why you gotta be, you gotta go down to the Fuller's house. You need the soap. You need the Fuller soap. There's one thing that the Fuller could get out in his spot. It makes no difference. He could get the spot out. Your garments are spotted with your flesh. And that flesh must be destroyed, brought down to the gates of hell. That's the consequences of it. For there is no tough thing that dwells in your flesh. That's why you need the mind of Yahshua. You need the conscience of Yahshua. Must have that conscience. The paradigm is broken and based upon false fallacies, lies, stipulations that are based upon the covenant relationship that Israel ought to have with you. That's what it's based upon. That's why we are falling. That's why we are weak and sickly. That's why we are weakly people. That's why we are diseased. That's why our bodies cannot absorb the truth of Yah. That's why we can't hear the word of Yah. That's why we get so offensive against Yahweh. That's why we get so defensive against Him. We can't absorb Him. Just like our physical state is, that's how our mental state is. Oh, honey, because it may look like something on the outside, that doesn't mean that it has all the wares in the inside. You understand? Those saying, say what looks terrible or good on the outside, that doesn't mean on the inside that all things are right. All right? Hallelujah. That doesn't mean that. Not one bit at all. You see, that's the paradigm of the world. This paradigm of the world is more concerned about the creature than the creator. That's what it's concerned about. And that doesn't give us law. That doesn't give us a privilege or a right to go away from what the Creator says. He gives us a law. He gives us a Torah of life, a Torah of fellowship, a Torah of brotherhood, a Torah of sisterhood, a Torah of marriage, a Torah of health, a Torah of wealth, a Torah to eat, a Torah how to eat. He gives us all of that. So you're not going to escape from it at all. You say, because of this, that's why you look that way, we that way, because we're not abiding in the Torah of Yah. That body's not deficient, don't even have the proper nourishment or the essentials that are needed to grow properly. And there are us that are beyond the Torah of Orient that you are ordained for the physical man. Get quiet, that makes no difference. It's something that there are things that it's all right if the preacher touch on. There are other things if he touch on, they're not applicable, they're not appropriate. It's one thing that Elder Roger would say at Mount Sinai, even back in the day, he said, Pastor Roberts, he touches on everything that we need. That's what he would say. Hallelujah. Our health, the way we should smell and taking baths. Hallelujah. Y'all commanded Yisrael to do that. Brother Mount Sinai, wash them folks up. They stink. They stink. And we stink, brothers and sisters. I don't care what kind of cologne you got on, makes no difference. We stink. We are stinking people. We are a stinking people. Stench. And we ought to be bringing a sweet, savoring smell before the nostrils of Yah. The offering of praise and our hands clean and our mouths open up with accolades of worship. It's your heart. Something is wrong with us. Something is wrong with us when there is never this delight and this energized willingness to do that. You are a sick thing. Something is wrong with you. Something is wrong here. As Elder reminds us, this heart, something is wrong in the lab. Something is wrong in your conscience. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. And you will get excited about a piece of hot piece of trash, a pile of cow's dung. That's all it is. I was talking to Deacon Horn the other day. I said, I'll tell you what, boy, you can take Sister Laquille out. She'd tell you, we ain't going that way. I said, I guarantee you. He didn't have to tell me that. I know. I said, she'd tell him, no, sir. Not that way. You get that? Mm-mm. I am not. You may do it, but I am not. Hallelujah. We are a generation we're sick. And the world is making sure you stay sick, too. Hallelujah. It's making sure you do that. Don't you know the AMA, America's Medical Association? You know men of color or doctors of color, they just apologize. They, because all these years, even up until now, they would not let a doctor of color become a part of it. So he could not even work in the hospital. They would not allow that. And they never adhered to their diagnostics or the understanding of medicine that they had. They would not even hear it. They won't even, that's the truth. These things happen today. You all sit there looking at me all fruitcake-ish. This is the reality today. They will not even adhere to it. They cannot be a part of their organization. They cannot be a part of the medical journey. They will not be a part of their associations and their meetings or anything. They will not allow them to do that. You understand? So they said that because the doctors of color, they had a better understanding of the health or how to deal with the patients of color. And that's why the people of color, that their health has fallen so far behind those that whereby the doctors, whereby of these associations, they would never allow them. Oh, that's the truth. Come on, it's in the paper. It was in the paper of the day, whether you read it or not. You can be blind to it, but it's the fact. It exists. It's a sick nation. It's sick. It's a sick, wicked nation. That's what we as Israel, we must do what Scripture tells us to do. As much as we have opportunity to tell them to all men. But especially Israel, do you understand that? You can fellowship with them dogs of hell and you have no interaction with the people of God. You are a sick jackass. I don't take nothing back. Your wicked mammy, grandmammy, makes no difference. Mama, I don't care what folks think about what I preach. I had someone to write me the other day from Charlotte. He says, I got a question. I said, you go to the web, you listen to some of my messages, listen to what I preach. It answers your question. Well, I want you to ask me a question. I determine whether I want to come and say, look, you go listen to what I preach and you can make the determination from there. You can make it from there. You see, if I'm trying to get a membership growth, I certainly would try to figure out how to answer a question. I'm not trying to figure out how to answer the question. I'm concerned about truth and truth prevailing. And she even said in a letter that it would be beneficial to you and me. Businesswoman? Been in business for 8 years? That doesn't mean nothing to me. I stand for the imats of Yah. You understand? So I'm not going to try to answer things the way that appeases one. I will answer according to Scripture. And so when one goes outside of the text of Scripture, outside of the text of the covenant, then that is a rasha one. When someone knows that it's wrong to do it and they do it despite what Yah says, that's a wicked man and woman, period. He says, Solomon, Yah says he's going to cast you off forever. He will cast you, he will forcefully cast you out of his presence. We don't believe that that's Yahweh, but that's the Abba that made us. I want to read this before I close. That's much to this teaching, and I'm going to continue this, all right? Hallelujah. I said that last week, I don't know, I think I turned out about three or four messages. May not never preach them, but this one I'm going to work on a little bit, all right? See, because when my mind, when I'm talking to Yah, there are all kinds of things. Whether I'm in the bean field, whether I'm building a building or helping the brothers, whether I'm over there in that little building over there, makes no difference where I'm at. Whether I'm at home sitting at my desk, whether my heels are kicked back and my thoughts are pulsating in my mind. There are always messages and teachings and preachings that need to be taught unto Israel. We are lagging. We are lagging far behind. Our minds must be corrected. Our conscience, they must be corrected. We have built things on a false promise and a false hope. You must have the tikvah. Yeah, we find it only in one place, and that is in the living truth. I want to turn to the 29th chapter of the same book. Hallelujah. Same book, 29th chapter. I want to begin reading in verse 10. I want to do this expeditiously. It says here, as David, he was given Torah unto Yah for the prayer and the offerings that Yah had allowed him to amass for the bayat, the tabernacle of the house to be built. But he was not the one to do it. But this is the instructions that he gives unto the wise. It says in the 29th chapter, 1 Chronicles, he said, wherefore David, he brach. He fell down with supplication and prayer, he brach Yah, before all the congregation. And that's how we ought to do it. We ought to brach, we ought to bless Yah before the congregation, the assembly of Israel. And David said to Yah, I brach Yahweh, our Abba of Israel, the Most High, or the Mighty One, the Abba. He said, I do it forever and ever. Why? Listen to what he says to Yah. He says, yours, O Yah, is the greatness, is the might and the power, and the beauty, and the victory, and the grandeur. For all that is in the Shemayim, the heavens, and in the earth, is yours. Everything belongs to Yah. Your breath, your life, the tree, the flower, the ant. He says, everything that I see, Yahweh, it belongs to you. That's why I exemplify your greatness, your power, your honor. He says, yours is the kingdom of Yah, and you are exalted above as head above all. And he is the creator of all things. He says, both riches and great honor come to you, and Yahweh reigns over all. And in your hand is power and might, and in your hand is to make great, to give strength to all. Now, all this is in the power of the hand of Yah. We know the hand of Yah. Israel ought to know the hand of Yah that strengthen us in our weakness. Yahshua, the right hand of Yah. You created all things. All belongs to you, Yah. What could you offer Yahweh that's not His? That's why He says you have breath. To feel wrath, I want you to honor me. Dance, something that is simple, that it just take an act of obedience and not a damn wicked defiance. Okay, how to resist it? You need to learn how to do it. Well, just do it. You know, in my days when I wanted to learn how to do a dance, you would watch. And of course, there were dances that they had steps to it. They were tough. And there were dances that were easy to do. And there were some that, and of course, I wanted to make sure when I danced, everybody looked at me. He can dance. That's the way I was, all right? Okay? And we used to do a dance called the bump. You know, you get the bumping and bumping you. I bump. Yeah, I did that too, all right? And all of that, you understand? Wicked just like you. All right. Okay. And so in order for me to learn how to do it, I had to watch. Then I had to go to places and practice that. So that's how we do with Yah. Well, just do it. He just told you to dance. That's what he told you to do, dance. It's amazing that every day in Psalms, whether I go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm telling you, I get there in time whereby you hear the big call, all employees to the front for the daily meeting. And they had them, that one old fella, boy, he was tough. I like him, boy. He was goofy like, but he go, S-S-A-A-M-M-S-S. That's how we do it. C-C-L-L-U-U-P-P. I just sat back and watched him. I said, man, look, this boy, I would hire him. I wouldn't hire you, but I would hire him. P-Sams, come, Sam. Sam's club, Sam. You watching him go to the cashier. See, man, I hire this man here. In my business, I would. Oh, sure, I would. Because he was energetic. He was energized. And the reason he did it like that, it was sure he appreciated he had a job. He knew he had a nice, what they call, nice job. He knew that was opportunity for him. And he wanted everybody to see that even when the big man was there. He will cry out, Sam's Club. Sam's Club. I can watch the ones. I look at the ones that. I say, they never go anywhere. Period. You look at the dead heads and they. They open their mouths. You watch the ones that will go. I can tell you exactly the ones that will progress in the company. That promotion will come to them. And the ones that did it like that, they won't get anywhere. They were the murmurers. They were the murmurers and the complainers. But that fellow, he wasn't complaining. He told me, man, college boy like me got a job like this. Sam's Club. I'll just get him in here and let him just say, Yahshua, Yahshua. Just that. Yeah. Yeah. And I would just say back, hey, when I would hear them, I said, oh, let me stop. Let me get up there. I didn't want to say back, just watch them. I just said, that's all right. Just watch him. And nobody would hear me. I see the dead ones and thought they were cool. They were. That's the way they did it. Because you don't see them. Little portly young fella there, he was Sam's Club. Sam, they couldn't do it like him because he was tough. He was the only one to get it up like that. He wasn't ashamed. So the other one, they kind of do it like that. And you saw the ones that were, Sam, you see the women, boy, some of them, they get excited. Of course, men, you know, they kind of look stiff. But the ones that did it, you could see them, the promotions. I saw one of them fully back. I said, what are you now, sister manager? Oh, yeah. See, he was the one of the Sam's Club. Sam's Club. See, he was the one that hollering Sam's Club. You see, if he got energized about something that simple, then the manager knew that he would be energized if he gave him a greater responsibility. A steward, if he's not faithful in the small things, he's not going to be faithful in the large things. So a little thing like that to sing the song, Sam's Club. Sam, if he's faithful in that, he's going to regard their monies and their goods, and he's going to do service unto them. But the hypocrites that will not guard that, when Yah says a simple thing to us to dance, at the sing, we can't do that. He's not going to entrust you with mighty things. The fellow's not there at Sam's anymore. He's somewhere else, but he's doing the same thing. Oh, he'll get a promotion. That's a fact. Hallelujah. Verse 14. He says in verse 12, both riches and great honors come to you, and you reign over all the earth. In your hand is power and might, and in your hand to make great and give strength to all. Now we said, now therefore, Yahweh, our Abba, we told her with an excellence praise. It is something that flows from not just thank you, but it's beyond the appreciation. It resonates from a conscience and a mind, from a level that sincerely Yada knows you, Yah. I told you, Yah, and Tehillah, the Tefireth of your name, the praises of the excellence and the honor, the Kabor of your name, Yah. I praise your name. For in that name we find our Yashak, our Yeshua, the strength and the promise of hope for Israel. He says, but who am I? And what is my people? What is my people? That we should be able. What are we? He said, Yah, my, you made everything. You own everything. He said, what are my people? That we should be able to offer so willingly. Are we willing to offer unto Yah so willingly? He said that we are able to offer unto you so willingly, with the hafetz, with the delight that we can offer so willingly after this sort. For all things come of you. Everything, it belongs to you. Yeah, you made the gold and the silver. My, yeah, come on, my people. What are we that we can do this so hafetz, so willingly? There's a delight. Even though we know you own everything, but you grab this unto us. He owns the breath in your body. He owns the movement of your hands and the clapping of your hands, the movement of your feet. And you can't do that willingly unto Yah. That, what is Yah that he allows you to do it so willingly? He said, with such hafetz, that you do it with delight. That we do it with delight, Yah. We know you own everything. Ma, you own the ground we walk on. Even the dirt that washes off our bodies. When we bathe, you own that, Yah. Everything is yours. Yet you allow us to come unto you. Come on, brothers and sisters. You all hear me? He owns everything. He owns your life. He owns everything. And he allows you to come before him to worship, to shahar, to worship, to brachim. Come on, what's wrong with us that we hold back? What's wrong with us that we're so immature spiritually? That this doesn't make us realize the value of Yah. He created all things. Something is wrong with us. We need to be taught again. Instead of us being teachers, we need to be taught. He says, Yahweh, all things come from you, and of yours own have we given you. It is yours. You hear that? Of your own have we given you. For your breath comes from Yah. He breathed the breath in the man. He become a living nephesh. He said, even what we give to you, it belongs to you. What are we? We own nothing, but even this which we offer unto you, it comes from you, Yah. This is the scary part, next verse. He says, for we are strangers. We are gari. We are strangers. We're strangers, gari. We lack knowledge and understanding of our heritage. We don't even know who we are. We are estranged from Yah. That's why we don't praise him. That's why we don't. Our conscience calls us to stumble. Our conscience calls us to stumble. That's why we stumble at the hearing of the truth. That's why we get offended so easily. That's why we can't hear him. We cannot. We are strangers. We are gari. We are newcomers. We lack the understanding of our rights. He says, before you. And we are sojourners, we are aliens, we are strangers. We are strangers. As were all, not some, he said, all our avat. Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, strangers unto Yah. They all had their battles, didn't they? And their struggles. He said, our days on the earth as a tassel, a shadow, and without permanence. Do you all hear that? Our days upon the earth is as a shadow. It's like a tassel. And it's not a permanent thing. So all we do as unto Yah. We barak. We praise him. We shahar. with her faith. We delight in the willingness to grant unto him everything that belongs unto him. It's just taking what's his and say, here it is. You gave me usury and I give it back to you. All is yours, Yah. Hallelujah. Verse 16, O Yahweh, our Abba, all that is in store, all of the abundance of wealth, everything we have, that we have prepared to build your bayat for your Kadosh name, comes of your hand. Everything that we're using, this house that we build, this city, this spiritual storehouse that we are, Yah has made us. And we're not ourselves. He says, so everything we use to build this excellent place of splendor for you has come from your hand. You made it all. You have given it. And all is of your own. He says in verse 17, I have learned, I have perceived also, Yahweh, my Abba, that you try the love and you have pleasure in the uprightness or the yoshia, the uprightness. As for me, in the yoshia of my love, he said, I have willingly, it's a free will, it's a nadab, I have free will offered all these things, and now have I seen the joy of your people. Now that is what that offering does when one truly offers unto the Yah. If there's an offering in this bayat unto Yah, you begin to see the joy of the people. Because you all don't offer, we don't know how to, we don't yadaya. There's no willingness. He says, I've seen the joy of all of your people, which are present here to offer willingly to you. O Yahweh, sovereign ruler of Abraham, Yishrak and Yisrael, our Avat. He said, keep this forever in the imagination, the yasa, the thoughts, the conscience of the thoughts of the Levim of your people. Let them be reminded of this and understand what has transpired. He said, and prepare, kun their love, prepare their love to you, prepare them for you, Yah. And he speaks a word that is so profound here in verse 19. He says, and give unto Sholomon, my son, a perfect, complete, one that is of covenant understanding, understand the Torah of Yah, a perfect love. For what reason? When a man works in the perfect Torah of Yah, when he walks in the Sholem of Yah, his love, it says, to keep your mitzvah, your commandments, your aduth, your testimonies, and your huk, your statutes, to do all these things and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. That Solomon may walk in the perfect love, Sholem. And that perfect love, that conscience, a man with his conscience is not one that's pakor. He one that stumbles. It is one that it walks in the Torah of Yah, in the testimony of Yahshua, in the power and the knowledge of that testimony. And they are confined by the statutes, the limitations of Yah. Everything that Yahweh does is their limitations. He gives us limitations on what to look at and not to look. If a man looks at a woman, lusts for her in his own heart, he has committed adultery. So he gives a limitation on that. How much to eat, how to live, how to treat each other. Hallelujah to that as well. Amen, amen. He teaches us all his limitations. Everything in life is limitations. Everything. Tell me what the world doesn't limit you in. It limits you what you can buy in the grocery store. You got $100 spent on a family three. You're not going in there and buy no $22 chicken. Rotisserie. You buying stuff that is affordable. So everything in life is with limits. There's statutes. You go to a community that is gated. You ask these brothers. Brother James, Brother Deacon Horn, they can tell you. Brother Dolphus. They stop you at the gate and say, I don't even like to look at that truck. It's clean. This one, nah, that doesn't look too well. Who are you coming to see? What are you doing in here? All right. Get your tag number down. Oh, that's what they do. Get your tag number. Let me see your driver's license. What house you going to? The time, what are you going to do? Of course, those communities, they have cameras and everything. You don't see them. They got cameras and everything. They know where you are. So in the world has statutes and limitations. So does your... What? Nobody's watching me, but his melach is his melachim, if you're a Siddiq. For the melach of yours is kept about the bayit of the Siddiq, of the righteous. You're wicked. He's watching you too. He sees everything you do. Hallelujah. And so give on the Sholomam this Sholem heart, this conscience that is pure, that understand the covenant relationship that I've established with your Avat, with Yisrael. They may know that I'm the one that prevails against their enemies. It's not by your numbers or numerics. It is by the power of my word that you prevail. That's how we have victory. It's not by how circumstance presents themselves to us. It's by our confidence and reliance upon the word of Yah. And you can have faith. You can delight in Yahshua all the day long. In trials, tribulation, in every circumstance, in affliction, you can rejoice. When you're buffeted, when you're tried, when you're ostracized, especially when you suffer for the sake of the kingdom, you suffer because you're wicked and hard-headed and stubborn, you got your reward too. For of course we're wicked and we're hard-headed, we think we're suffering for the sake of the kingdom, and we're not. We're suffering because of our stubbornness and our wickedness, our unbridled lust. That's why we're suffering. That's why we have not progressed ahead. How do you know that? Because the pattern is in the book. The Israel obeyed Yah, they progress. When they walk defiance of the Yah, he will kill them in the wilderness and destroy them. Give them onto the slave ship of the Babylonians, the ruler of the oppressors, the Philistines. That's what he did. We allowed this Babylon world to oppress us, suppress us. That's not of Yah. The circumstances, their mandates, we fall subjected unto that. I will not. I don't care about no $2,600 electric bill. We don't have it. Turn it off. Hallelujah. You're not going to die. The whole world live without electricity. That's called the food supply, whether you believe it or not. China has 1.6 billion people. And India is not a shot behind them. They're buying up everything. There was a fertilizer we used to get here. It was an organic fertilizer you could get. It came down from Argentina. And you could get it here pretty cheap here. You cannot even find it here. You can't even buy it. Why? Because China buys it all. They say we want every drop of it. We'll give the Americans one drop. Why? Because we got 1.6 billion miles to feed. 300 million people? You calculate it. They buy every drop. Price of steel, why do you think it's going up? Because we're building here. Housing market is down. They're building in China and India. They're building. They don't mind making $6,000 a year. You see, they don't worry about having the vehicles like us. They sleep on the floor. They use the service that they catch buses whereby there are 50 folks in the bus that ride 25. They're not like us. Or they go home, they roll out a mat, they sleep. They sit down and they die and they're happy. We're the most miserable, most sickly people upon the face of the earth. We can't have enough because we're not satisfied. We're unappreciative. And so everything is going to China and India, whether you believe that or not. It's going to China and India. India has about 1.3 billion folks. In countries like Pakistan, 700 million people. You understand, they're not little small entities. They want their biofuel. And so they say we can make more money with biofuel than we can selling a bushel of corn for someone to make some bread. That's how the rich man thinks, whether you all believe that or not. That's why we should be so ever careful with even the gardens and the things. You sisters walk around here doing nothing. You don't have to have someone to tell you to go get the plums. You ought to just go pick them up. We're lazy generation, lazy as hell. I know it's right. When I do something, I do it. I roll. That's a fact. I like to get it done. I like to procrastinate. I like to get it done. I look at the job and say, take me 3 hours to do that. Come on, let's roll. Let's roll, brothers. I don't slack with the brothers. I may tell them, hold on, Brother Pat, I got to go check on something. I'll be back. You'll handle that. And that's the way it is. And so we take for granted, we walk around the beds, we see the tomatoes, you don't want to just even stop and pull some weeds out. That's sad. But the day is coming, Israel. I'm telling you that. Whether you believe that or not. That's a fact. That's a fact. The plums. I had the little children. I said, you all. See, we don't even think like that. You little children, go get the plums. If nothing else, give them to the animals. Do that for me. Because you'll walk past some trees every day. You will not even bend over for nothing. You won't even bend over to throw one over there. You quiet. That's why I know I'm telling the truth. Hallelujah. Is it something when a parent would say, you did that, boy. When he got quiet, she knew. That's why they could discern. They knew when you were wrong. You didn't have to tell them. And that's where we are. You walk past the tree, you're not going to bend over because your gut is too big. You can't even bend over and pick up the plum. You won't even throw it over the fence. I said to those little boys, Abby, y'all come here. Who is that? Josiah and Aharon. Get over there, boys. Because they enjoy just picking up all the apples, throwing them over there. The cow, they'll eat them. They ate them. Sure they did. Every last one of them. It's a dismal shame, the attitude of the people in this country. But that's why it's going to be much exact upon us. It is. Hallelujah. They're going to have no cool rooms or no air conditioning office or nothing like that. It won't be that. And that's a fact. This gas thing, just wait till it rises on up. Just wait. It's going up. I was reading Mr. Omar yesterday, the president of OPEC. He said, if anything, if America ran, or Israel, that land over the Zionists, that's what they are. That land that we call Israel, if they go into Iran, he said the gas prices are going to go unlimitless. And now, even as I read this morning, folks are looking to buy wood-burning stove because it's going to cost, they're talking about $5 a gallon. Do you all hear me? When I was up there, Pastor Pennington back then, the woman cost her $300 a week just to heat her house. And she didn't have the heat blasting out either. Just to kind of keep the chill off. That was back then. What is it going to cost her? This is going to cost her $500 a week. How does an old person get $600 a month? Put enough oil in her tank to keep the house warm. So folks are looking for wood-burning stoves. And the most folks don't even know how to cut a tree down. Where are they going to get wood from? They're not going to let you clear the fields out there in California. That's why it burns like a tinderbox all the time now. How stupid they are. Going to hurt some little bug? That's how ignorant this society is. Yeah, I intended for man. He intended for him to use a little fire to stay warm. Because of our wickedness and because of our greed, that's why the balance of the earth is off now. That's why diseases overtake the plants. It wasn't that way. Because of the wickedness of man. Because of the wickedness. You sow wickedness, you reap wickedness. You sow corruption, we see it everywhere. I don't care what you do. We get the tomato seeds. Come on. Because they by the hands of corrupt men, they only have one purpose, making a dollar. Then you see the corruption in the seeds. That's what they lay their wicked hands on it. You get it from them. You see the corruption there. We better get real and serious and understand. That's for real. You know, they didn't have to go to the Philistines to buy food. Yah rained down food for them. And he's given us the food of life, the bread of life, Yahshua. That we must be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And do the things that we need to do. Quit always wanting to sleep and lay around. Do nothing. The sun is it's a blessed thing. Get in the sun. Sweat a little bit. Get the poison out of you. You won't feel so lazy. It's a problem. Quiet, huh? That's all right. I'm not afraid of you. That's a fact. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 20, and thy weeds said to all the congregation, now Barak Yah, your Abba. And all the congregation, Barak, they bless Yahweh, the sovereign ruler of the Avat. And they bow down their heads and they, Shachar, they worship Yah and they honored the Melech. They honored David. They showed a great reverence of his wisdom, his wise tenet to come before Yah and to bring unto him that which is appropriate. Let me read this before I close in the Hanak and Enoch. It says this, in those days, the elect one, Yahshua, shall sit on my throne. And from the conscience of his mouth shall come out all the secrets of wisdom. For Yahweh of hosts has given them to him and magnified him. In those days mountains shall dance like rams, and the hills shall leap like kids satisfied with milk. And the faces of all the Melechim of heaven shall glow with joy Because of the day of the elect one has arisen, the coming, the kingdom of Yeshua, and the earth shall rejoice, and the Sodiq ones shall dwell upon her, and the elect ones shall walk upon the earth. For the kingdom of Yahweh is near than when we first believe. It's our own conscience that caused us to stumble at the things of Yah, that we will not obey Him and do what He commands us. We find reason within our own corrupt life not to do what He commands us. The prayer that we give Solomon, a perfect, a sholem, a heart, that Yada understands the covenant of Yah, His truth, Emet, the power of Torah, that he may know how to instruct Israel to come before Yah and bring the offering that is acceptable unto Yah, for all things belong to Yah. Even your breath of your life, it belongs to Him. May Yah barak Yisrael, may He strengthen us all. May He help us all that we may grow in the strength. Toda Yah. Bless all you that are listening, a large crowd today for us. The house will be full. May He strengthen you all. May He cause your life to be courage and courage. May He bless you. May Yah barak you, our listeners, our friends. May He bless you. Yah barak you. May He strengthen us all. Come on, singers. Come on, Brother Patrick. Yah barak you. Let us stand to our feet. Bless you all that are listening by the live stream. We barak you all. May the blessings of Yah shower upon you all. Have a great Shabbat. Hallelujah.
May Yah rock us all today. Let me say that. I do want to say that. We want to extend the tabernacle. I was hoping that we could have it done by tabernacle. I don't know if we will. We want to make it larger so we have room for the choirs, the singing, and the brothers, the instruments. It's just, I know it's not that many of us, but we need more room here. So Yah's will. You all pray about that. We have the funds to do that. We can set things up in a way that will be accommodating. So Yah, bless you all. Bless you all that are listening, everyone. We look forward to seeing you all next Shabbat. In all things, Yah, we barak you in Yahshua's name. Go to Israel, protect them. Those on the road safely. Those that are listening by the live stream. Just barak them all, I pray. We ask your blessings upon Israel. Yahshua's mighty name. Israel cried, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.